chapter 1, Hebrews 11, and Joshua chapter 1. The little chorus I handed out this morning says, where two or three are gathered together in His name, He promised to be with us. And this is word we claim. One of the things about the Bible is we need to mine it. Mine it is to dig into it, like you mine for gold. But you also have to mine it and say, I want to make it mine, to make it work. And so we see the word and God speaks to our heart and we say, I hear you, Lord. Amen. I'm in agreement. I'm in agreement with you. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 23, by faith, when he was born, Moses was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do drowned. And then Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Let's pray. Father, we pray that thou wouldst honor thy word, that the Holy Spirit might minister it in grace to every hearer. I pray if there's someone here this morning who's still caught in the undertow of the powers of darkness, that thou wouldst set them free. I pray if there's someone here this morning who's looking for light, that they might, like the wise men, find it, and it might lead them to the Savior. I pray, Lord, if there's someone looking for encouragement, that they might also look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. I pray if there's someone discouraged, that they might see victory in that resurrection. I pray, Lord, that your word would this morning be quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and the marrow, knowing that it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, and that no man is hidden, but all things are manifest unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Bless us, Lord, as we gather around thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. by faith. And in case you didn't get it, the Holy Spirit again said, by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I grew up in the church. All Icelanders are automatically a part of the Lutheran church. You just kind of, you're a part of it. You're baptized. When you're old enough to read, you memorize Luther's catechism. You answer the questions. They give you the questions and the answers, so it's kind of cheating. And passed with flying colors. I went to Sunday school, marched in the Sunday school parade on Ocean Avenue, Seabreeze Avenue, off of Ocean Parkway. Sang in the children's choir, rang the bell on Sunday. When I was old enough, I was an acolyte, which meant I lit the candles when we began the service. And then when the speaking was all done, I would extinguish the candles. And nobody went home until I extinguished the candles. That's power. And the problem is I didn't know the Lord. I was like Pharaoh that spoke to Moses and said, who's the Lord that I should obey him? That was me. Even though I grew up in the church, I thought I knew him. But I didn't know him any more than Pharaoh knew him. And then one day I heard the gospel, and I heard that I was a sinner. And it came to a place in my life where I needed to make a decision. As I shared before, when I was overseas in Southeast Asia and I saw the chaos of war, I thought to myself as a youngster, 19, 20 years old, I thought, what is wrong with people? What's wrong with people is we're sinners. That's what's wrong with people. And God has a solution, and God has an answer for that. He sent his Son into the world to be the Savior. And we come to a place where we recognize we need that Savior. We're not good enough. And so God sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to die in our place. And I had to realize that it required that I would believe him and trust him. I didn't know what faith was. By faith, Moses' parents, by faith. I thought I knew what faith was. Somebody says, well, it just means to believe. Well, I used to believe in Santa Claus. He let me down. He's a myth. He's a fairy tale. And a lot of people grow up and they realize that they've been duped by their parents. And all those evidences under the Christmas tree are just a big lie. There is no Santa Claus. And the same ones tell them about Jesus, and they kind of wonder, maybe there's no Jesus either. I used to see him on a flannel board. It wasn't real, but he was there. No, I was 21 years old, and I saw myself a sinner in a world that was filled and cursed with sin. And I trusted him as my personal Savior. I put my faith in him, and I believed. So what does it mean to believe? Well, it means to trust in. That's not all. To adhere to and to rely on. Now, you've seen those plugs that you plug in your radio, you plug in your toaster, it's got the two prongs. And then another toaster has, or another thing has three prongs. Well, this has three prongs. To trust in, adhere to, and rely on. And when I realized that, it all made sense. To trust. That's the basis of every good relationship. You don't buy an automobile from somebody you don't trust. the used car salesman that you don't trust doesn't get your money. The first thing is you have to trust him. You don't put your bank, you don't put your money in a bank that you don't trust. You don't put your investments in a firm you don't trust. That's the basic relationship of any relationship. Trust. That's the start. And I came to a place in my life where I realized you can trust the truth. And Jesus is the truth. You can trust the truth. He said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. And the resurrection, seen by so many men that were willing to go to the Colosseum and give their lives, they would not do that for a lie. Jesus is everything he claims to be. You can trust the truth. And so number one, to believe means to trust in. Second, it means to rely. It means to adhere to. You take the stamp and you put it on the envelope, and wherever the envelope goes, the stamp goes. Why? Because it adheres to the envelope. And I decided 55 years ago that I could trust Jesus and I could follow him and go where he wanted me to go, to stick with him. That is to agree with him. The college professor writes the formula on the blackboard in the university in a calculus class, and he's making this equation, and he stops, turns around to the class, and he says, "Are you with me?" And everybody says, "We're with you." And there's one guy raises his hand in the back and says, "Professor, I'm sorry, I'm not with you. Could you do that again?" What is that? Are you with me? Yeah. Are you following me? Yeah. To trust in Jesus means you follow him. You're with him. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then lastly, it means to rely on, because I can't do it, but God can do it, and God does it, to rely on him, not on myself. A bird without its feathers, a lion without its roar, a stamp without a letter, a house without a door, a summer without its sunshine, a storm cloud without its rain, an atheist, a man who says there is no God, his life a crying shame, a turtle without a hard shell, a ship without a rudder, a village without a spring or well, a child without a mother, Noah without the God of grace, without the rainbow or the ark, Bartimaeus without Jesus, still sitting in the dark, like salt without its savor. An endless night without a day, food that has no flavor, or a sheep that lost its way. What good for man to gain the world when you count the cost and toll, when truth on judgment days unfurled, if in the end you lose your soul? As I was with Moses, I will be with you. These were the words that God gave to Joshua as the fire of faith and the torch of truth was passed from one generation to another. like a baton in a relay race, moving along a track of time and space, until a millennial kingdom would come, and the eternal Word, God's Son, would take his appointed place. Notice the word and the key to the door of understanding and an entrance into the kingdom of God. I will be with you. The word with is a preposition that describes a relationship between words. Are you with me? Jesus said he wants to be with us. It doesn't matter what China does, or Russia does, or Disneyland does. What's important is what you do with Jesus and what you are willing to let Jesus do with you. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. The same God that designed the bird and gave it feathers, gave salt its savor and food its flavor, made man in his own image, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It is God, God's presence, power, plan, and purpose that makes man different than the animal. A godless life is a tragic life, and yet that is the story of humanity. From the Garden of Eden to the caves of Iwo Jima, sin has plagued, polluted, and poisoned this planet, filling it with chaos, corruption, and carnage. Jesus is the only hope and the answer. 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel, which means God with us, came, and the Bible says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name, trust in, adhere to, and rely on Jesus. There are two kinds of people in the world. There are two kinds of people here today, and I don't mean Democrat and Republican, male or female, rich or poor, white or black. It is a distinction more important, and it explains all of the chaos and carnage we see and hear about. There are those with God and those without God. It's as simple as that. Moses learned the hard way. He tried it without God, and it didn't work. He was placed in a situation where he thought he would be the prince of Egypt, and he tried to be a community organizer and help everybody to play nice in the playground. And it didn't work. He ended up killing somebody and becoming a murderer, and he dug a hole and tried to bury the body, but God saw it and others saw it, and he ran as a fugitive into the desert. He learned the hard way. He said, I tried it and it didn't work. And then one day in the middle of the desert, a bush began to burn, and it burned so brightly and so furiously that Moses had to turn aside and see the sight of a bush that could not be consumed. And as he approached it, a voice came from the midst of the flames and said, "Moses, take off your shoes, for the ground you're standing on is holy ground." And then he said, "I want to send you back to Pharaoh with a message." And Moses said, "Who am I?" Exactly. It took him 40 years to be emptied of Moses. Who am I? Well, I'm a prince of Egypt. I went to the best Egyptian university. I was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. No. He came to a place in his life where he realized he was just nothing. He said, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh?" And then he asked, "If I go, who should I tell sent me?" And God said, "Tell him the great I am sent you." Wow. See, it's not who we are, it's who he is. He learned the hard way what it was to be without, try to do something without God. And then he went in the name and in the power of God, and it was all written for history. And then he said in Exodus chapter 33, later he said, "Lord, if you don't go with us, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go." Ah, but with us, that's a different story. Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Gabriel came all the way from heaven with a message, not for Pharaoh, but for Mary. A young maiden, a virgin. And in verse 27, it says, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored." Now, highly favored, that's grace. See, we say grace is unmerited favor. It's favor. And here the angel comes to Mary and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored." That's grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, as the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But grace is God working in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. "Mary, you are highly favored." The word favored, that means grace. Verse 28. "Thou art highly favored. The Lord is," look at it, "the Lord is with thee." That's what it is. There are two kinds of people in the world, those that are with God and those that are without God. And God comes and says, "Mary, I'm with you. You're highly favored." Now, that's wonderful. Why? Well, take a look at verse 37. Why? "For with God, nothing is impossible." Wow. "Mary, you are highly favored. God is with you. And with God, nothing is impossible." Get this and get it. Don't misunderstand me. When we trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we tell somebody we've just received Christ as our Savior, we believe in Him, we trust in Him, we adhere to Him, and we rely on Him. When we say receive Jesus as our Savior, what happens is we're humbled. We're like Moses. We say, who am I? I'm nobody. And God says, exactly. I want to use a nobody. I can use a nobody. I can't use somebody who thinks he's a somebody. And so he looks to a person who sees himself a sinner and says, like the publican in Luke, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. When we trust Christ, we are humbled. We're not proud. We Christians have nothing to be proud about. We are humbled. But we are also invincible. Why? Because God is with us. And that makes all the difference. Samson without his hair was not as bad as Samson without God. With God, he can do anything. But because of his sin, the tables were turned. Samson without God is not anything to be excited about. And a sinner without God, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, is hopeless, without hope in the world. Two kinds of people. The prodigal son also learned the hard way. He tried it on his own. But he had a change of heart. He's learned things the hard way. With God, nothing is impossible. But Jesus also said in John 15 and verse 5, without me, you can do nothing. There you go. With me, nothing's impossible. Without me, you can do nothing. Someone may walk out of here this morning without God. For you, I tremble. Someone else may walk out of here this morning and realize that they've been a fool and bow before God and trust Jesus as their Savior, humbling themselves, becoming humble and invincible. The third kind of person will walk out of here this morning encouraged as they think back on their own life and the difference of the without God and the with God and how God was with you. God's presence, Emmanuel. A short Sunday school lesson. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. God was with Moses in his creation. Before Moses even was aware of God's presence, God was with him. God had plans for Moses, and God has plans for you, and God has plans for me. There's a blueprint of a wonderful and abundant life for everybody. Nobody is a mistake. Jeremiah 1:4 says, before I made you in the womb, I knew you. Psalm 139 says all your members were written in a book. You're going to be tall like your Uncle Harry. You're going to have a gait like your grandmother Ethel. You're going to have your eye color is going to be like your Aunt Susie. And it's all written in a book. The DNA is all there. God's got great plans for you. As I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. Before you were born, God had plans for you. Second, God was with him in his weakness and his helplessness. Nothing's more helpless than a little baby. God was with him. His mother tried to hide him for 3 months, and she finally came with the decision she couldn't hide him anymore. I don't know why. Maybe because he started crying, and maybe she was afraid that the neighbors were going to rat her out. And the cultural police or whoever would come in and take the baby away. I don't know. She finally decided, I can't protect this baby anymore. And she gave little Moses up to God. Put him in a little basket and had it covered with pitch and pushed it out into the Nile, into the arms of God, and said, Lord, I have to trust you. Nobody's more helpless than a baby. When the baby comes home from the hospital, you don't say, the refrigerator's over there. No. For the next 9 months or 10 months or 12 months, you're going to be up every night feeding the baby. You don't say, the bathroom's down the hall. Yeah, second door on the left. No. The baby's helpless. God was with Moses when he couldn't do anything for himself. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. 30 is with Moses in his fortune. Moses went to the best schools, walked on marble floors, and ate off of alabaster dishes. He had the best this world could offer. But Moses somehow knew the difference between the incandescent lights of man and the eternal light of God. See, some people, they can't handle fortune. It ruins them. The Bible says how hard it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But the poor man who has nothing is more likely to fall to his knees and look up and say, oh, God, help me. God was with him in his fortune. It didn't change Moses. He made up a decision in his heart that he was going to live for God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And all the riches of Egypt, he said, you can keep that. Wow. Keep the magic kingdom. But your electric parade. I'm following another light. I'm following God. He was with him in failure and difficulty. 40 years he spent in the wilderness, in obscurity. Whither shall I go from thy spirit or for thy presence? Thou art there. Failure. Yep, he was a failure. But we learn more from our failures than we do from our successes. Somebody here could stand up and say, I thank God that I failed. That's where I found God. The Philippian jailer had the jail collapse all around him, and that's what it took for him to cry out and say, what must I do to be saved? Praise the Lord for that earthquake. He was with him in difficulty. He was with him in adversity. His own people didn't understand him or appreciate him. Some of them wanted to go back. They were reluctant followers. But he had on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation. Number 6, he was with him in his death. Nobody went to Moses' funeral. No flowers, no eulogy. They didn't put the obituary in the newspaper. No sermon that I know of. The only one that was there that showed up was God. God was there. God was there when he was born, and God was there when he died. You say, that's it. No, it's not it. 2,000 years ago, we go up to the top of the Mount of Transfiguration, and we see Moses with Jesus. We're running out of time. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. We sang that Jesus is calling. We sang that before. Verse Verse 13, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. What does God want? He wants you to be with him. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. Emmanuel means God with us. Grace is God with us. Faith is us with God. Faith says, I want to be with him. So God showered grace on you. You didn't even know it when you were born. And when you get the mumps or the measles, God was there. He was there. You didn't know it. God always wanted to be with you. And then some of you came to a place in your life where you realized that and you said, I want to be with him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you understand me, you might say, Ingemar, I'm with you. But it's more important that you're with him. To walk out of here humble, but with the power of God, invincible. Nothing can happen. And after death, just like Moses, he'll be with Jesus. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. The author and creator, my Savior, Lord, and friend. He first conceived and thought me. And then with skill he wrought me. And filled with love, the Lord above came to this world and sought me. Although I fell, I'll gladly tell, Christ reached beneath and caught me. Since this alone was not enough, with blood the Savior bought me. Now at his feet I take a seat and heed all he has taught me about his Father's house above, where I'll be, because he brought me. They say, vaya con Dios. Go with God. How can I go with God? Come to Jesus and walk out of here humbled and invincible. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that as you were with Moses, you will be each one of us that puts our faith and trust in you. Thank you for Christ coming to die in our stead. Thank you for setting us free from the shackles of sin. Thank you for washing us and making us clean. Thank you for having plans for our life and a mission. I pray that we would decide that we want to be with you. Help us, like that thief on the cross who put his faith in Jesus in the very last minute, and Jesus told him that on that day, that very day, he would be with him in paradise. In that name we pray. Amen.